Okay, it's good to see everybody. Welcome to this week's weekly devotional. For those of you who have participated earlier in this week or have had a class this week, you know that one of the focuses we've been focusing on this week has been on forgiveness. We've been talking about forgiveness and we've been talking about prayer. And so I'm asking you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 7. We're going to be in Luke chapter 7 today. And before we do that, if you don't have a Bible or if you need a Bible, please remember that you can ask a staff member there at the hospital to get one for you. We have provided free Bibles for you there and would love for you to have one and to keep one. And all we ask you to do is if you take one, read from it and seek God's through His truth. And so, again, thank you for being a part of this class today. Let's go ahead. Luke chapter 7, we're going to read verses 36 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And today we're going to continue to talk about forgiveness, and we'll title this lesson, An Expression of Forgiveness. So let's read this passage together, and then we'll pray. It says in Luke 7:36, now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. And he said, a moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time that I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sin? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. All right. So let's go back through and look at this passage. We meet three characters in this story. Jesus and the Pharisee, well, four characters. Jesus, the Pharisee, a woman who is a great sinner, a sinner, and then we meet a group of people that were reclining around the table with Jesus and the Pharisee and the woman. And so it says that Simon, the Pharisee, invited Jesus to come to his house, right? And we should all do that. We should invite Jesus to come to our house. He should be a part of our life, a part of our thoughts, and a part of our actions, and a part of our meals, and a part of all that we do. Everything that I do in my house should be glorifying to Him. I should invite Him in, and He should be a part of and a presence in my home at all times. And what did Jesus do when the Pharisee invited Him? He came, right? Jesus replied and came. And so they have this meal. We have to understand that in the Gospels, the Pharisees was a group of very, very religious people. They were very externally religious. They wore all the right clothes. They spoke all the right ways. They did all the right things. And they were very externally, very religious. And And if you were to look at a Pharisee, you would look at one of them and say, man, that's the most religious guy I know. And so this Pharisee has invited Jesus to come and stay at his house and to have a meal with him. So you could probably question, well, I wonder why this Pharisee had asked Jesus to come to his house. Well, there could be several reasons. Jesus was, at the time, very popular. He was doing all kind of miracles and drawing large crowds of people. And this Pharisee could have simply just been curious. Maybe we know that another famous Pharisee in John chapter 3, a guy named Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and wanted to ask him about all the miracles that he was doing and asking him about how it is that a person enters the kingdom of heaven. So maybe this Pharisee was just simply curious and wanted to know who Jesus was. That could be one reason. Another reason, we know that the Pharisees, as a group, as a whole, were enemies of Jesus. Jesus was coming in and negating their authority and demeaning their status in society, their role. And so a lot of them were his enemies. And one of the things that they were constantly trying to do was they were constantly trying to trap him in his word. So maybe this man had invited Jesus over to his house in order to see if he could catch him in his words or catch him saying something wrong or find some fault in him. We don't know what the reason is. Maybe he was just asking Jesus to come over because he wanted to be able to walk around and tell everybody, oh, yeah, I had that Jesus guy over at my house to have dinner. We don't know what the reason is, but the man invites Jesus, and it says Jesus comes. And it says there was also a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, she came. So we have a woman, and she is all it tells us about her is that she is a sinner, right? The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what did she do? She heard that Jesus was at this man's house. We know that the Bible teaches us that salvation comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. And how many times, I can't tell you the number of times in the gospel accounts, in the life of Christ's earthly ministry, how many times the people that get healed by Jesus, before they get healed, it'll say something like that. It'll say, they heard that Jesus was coming into the town and they came to him. So salvation comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, by hearing about Jesus, salvation comes to people. But what does this woman do? She hears that Jesus is there at the house. She's a sinner and she comes to the house. And what does she bring with her? It says that she comes to, he's reclining at the table, and she brings in an alabaster vial of perfume. Now, the point of this perfume is that this is something that is very expensive. It's very costly, and it's very dear to this woman. It's very expensive, and it's very costly, and it's very dear to this woman. And what does she do? It says she comes into the house. She brings the alabaster perfume, standing behind him at his feet. Weeping, she begins to wet his feet with tears, and she kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. So this woman is literally bowed at Jesus' feet. She pours out the alabaster bottle of perfume. She pours that perfume out on Jesus' feet, and she's weeping. Her tears are literally wetting Jesus' feet, and she takes her hair, and she's using her hair like a towel. She's wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, if any of you know, women are very peculiar about their hair. They're going to make sure that it looks nice before they go out, and they'll spend lots of time putting all kind of chemicals and all kind of conditioners and things in it. And even just like in today's world, back then a woman's hair was who she was. It was her glory. It was an expression of who she was. And so this woman has literally, she's come before Jesus. She heard about him. She knows he's there, and she comes before him. And she takes one of the most expensive things that she has and literally pours it out at his feet. She's lifting him up. She's humbling herself and exalting him, and she's wiping her using her hair to wipe his feet. She's broken before him. Her tears are an expression of her sorrow, and she's humbling himself not only before Jesus but before all of these people in this room. And so it's all about Jesus. And it says the Pharisees who had invited him saw this. And look what it says. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. All right? Think about that. The man, this Pharisee, is thinking to himself. He's not saying this out loud. This is something that he's thinking in his mind. And what is he saying? He's saying, you know, if this guy really was a prophet, if he really was a spokesman for God, if he truly had the gift of prophecy, if he could truly discern truth, he would know what kind of woman this is. Now, what kind of woman is she? That she is a sinner. This woman who is touching him is a sinner. Now, remember at the beginning of our lesson, we talked about how this Pharisee, how he wore all the right clothes. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't cheat on his wife, he certainly didn't hang around with those that did. And the Pharisees at this time, their attitude was is that defilement, that sin could be transferred to you by other people. So if this man would have been walking around out in the marketplace and a Gentile would have bumped into him, he would have ran home and washed himself thoroughly, and he would have been considered unclean until the sun went down that day because he had touched someone who was not Jewish, that was defiled, that was nasty. And so what does he think? Well, he thinks that by Jesus allowing this sinner to touch him, that her sins are being transferred over to him. And what did he say? If he knew what kind of woman this was. Well, what kind of woman is she? She's a sinner. What did the scripture say? She was a sinner. There's no doubt that she is a sinner. But thankfully, and thanks be to God, we find out at the end of the passage that she is a forgiven sinner. And that's very important. This man is repulsed by this woman. He's repulsed by this woman. But you know, there's not a single person around that table that day, except for Jesus, that is not a sinner. And this Pharisee is not helping his own cause out by condemning others by looking down on their actions. Because the reality is, the Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so with this attitude of self-righteousness and self-sufficiency, he's simply looking down on this woman as just scum. And he's like, if this guy Jesus, if he really was a prophet of God, he would know what kind of woman this is. Well, Jesus does know what kind of woman this is. And Jesus tells us that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so this woman has come to him, and Jesus is sitting at the table. Simon is thinking to himself these things. And so what does Jesus say? Simon, I got something to say to you. And so he said, well, go ahead, teacher, say whatever you got to say. And what Jesus is going to do is Jesus is going to use a parable, as we've talked about before. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He's going to use a parable, a story, to help him to understand some things about life. And look what he says. There was a money lender who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. So one man was in debt of 500 denarii. The other man was in debt 50 denarii. It's a 10-to-1 ratio there, right? And he says, and they were both unable to repay, and he graciously forgave them both. All right, so both men owed money. One owed 500, the other one owed 50. And what did the money lender do? He simply told both men, you don't owe me anymore. Right now, a money lender would definitely go broke if he continued to just forgive everybody that owed him money. Well, the reality is that God's grace is immeasurable. God has the ability to forgive more than we have the ability to sin. His son Jesus came and died on a cross so that we could have a forgiveness. And Jesus' blood is more than enough to pay for all of our sins. And so God has the ability to forgive us because of what Christ has done on the cross. Because Jesus has drank the cup of wrath from his Father and taken the punishment that we deserve, we can now know forgiveness. And so he says they were both unable to forgive, and he forgave both men. So he asked Simon, he says, Simon, which one of those two guys is going to love the moneylender more? Well, it's a very simple question, and Simon answers the question right. Simon said to him, I suppose the one who he had forgiven more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Now, when Jesus gives the parable, Simon has judged correctly, right? Well, the problem is that just a few minutes before that, Simon had been judging this woman. Simon had been judging this woman as someone who was what? A sinner. Someone who owed God. And in the parable, Simon would have seen himself as the one that owed. Well, actually, Simon would have never seen that he owed anything. But his attitude would have been in such a way that he would have felt he was the one that only owed 50. And that woman over there, that sinner, she's the one that owed 500. And so he says, you have judged correctly. Well, Simon has the ability to understand what it means to be in debt. Simon has the ability to understand what it means to have a debt forgiven. He understands that part. The problem is he does not understand the forgiveness of God and how it truly works. So he's turned to the woman. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. Right. In that day, the most of the folks would be wearing sandals. They walk around out in the dirt all day. When they come in the house, their feet would be dirty. And most people, I'm sure that most of the Pharisees were influential. They were upper middle class folks. They would have had a foot washer at the door. They'd have had a slave working at the door. And when you would come into their house, they would wash your feet with water. And Jesus said, Simon, I came into your house. You didn't offer to wash my feet at all. Right. You invited me into your home. You've extended an arm of hospitality by inviting me to come and have dinner at your table. But yet, as soon as I walked in the door, there was no hospitality shown. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't offer to have my feet washed. And yet this woman has continually washed my feet with her tears. These tears cost her something. They cost her sorrow. They cost her hurt and pain and suffering. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time she has came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. She'd humbled herself before him. It said, you did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. So what is Jesus doing? He's showing how this woman has expressed her appreciation for the forgiveness that she has. She has been forgiven for her many sins, and she is expressing that forgiveness through her actions. And what is he saying? Look what he says there in verse 47. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Now, it's very important for us to finish up the line, because she's loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. All right. Now, that's a very important verse. Jesus said, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he is forgiven little, loves little. Now, Jesus is not saying that she is forgiven because of the things that she is doing. We are not forgiven. We are not justified by our works. We are justified by faith. She has recognized God's forgiveness in her life and her tears and her sacrifice of this perfume and her humbling herself before Jesus and washing his feet are all expressions of a forgiveness that she has. They are not works that she is doing to merit his forgiveness. Look what it says. He who is forgiven loves little. All right, let's read that again. For this reason, her sins, which are many, have forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. So what is he saying? He's saying that our life, our words, our thoughts, our actions are going to be an expression of our relationship to God. And the only way that we can truly have a relationship with God is through the forgiveness of Christ Jesus and his work on the cross. And so by this woman expressing her love for God, she is expressing the forgiveness that she knows she has. And what do we know? We know that she was a sinner and she is loving much. So what does that tell us about her? She's been forgiven much. But this guy, Simon, is loving little. So what do we know? He's been forgiven little. Those who are reclining, he looks at the woman and he says, your sins have been forgiven you. He's affirming something that the faith inside of her has already told her. And what a wonderful thing that is to know your sins are forgiven, you go in peace. What a wonderful knowledge that is to know that God so loved me, so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that he died on that cross and paid for all the wicked things that I've done in my life so that I could have peace with my Father in heaven. What a wonderful thing that is to know. And it says, your sins are forgiven. You have been forgiven. And so it says now, those that were reclining at the table with him said to themselves, they're thinking to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sin? Who is this man who even forgives sin? Well, the reality is the only person that can forgive sins is who? It's God. But these men are saying, who is this man who forgives sins? Well, the reality is he is the man God. He is the God-man. He is 100% God. He is 100% man. And because he knows in just a matter of days he's going to be pouring his blood out on a cross for this young lady, he can tell her that her sins have been forgiven. It's as good as done. Jesus is going to go to that cross and die on that cross and pour his blood out for this woman's many sins. And because she knows that forgiveness in her life, she expresses that forgiveness through her thoughts and her words and her actions. And so he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, what we do not hear is that same encouragement to the Pharisee or the other people sitting around that table, do we? The only way that we can know forgiveness is through Christ Jesus. We have to hear about him, we have to receive him, and we have to believe him. And Jesus died on that cross and poured out his blood on that cross to pay for the sins of a people. He said, I lay my life down for my sheep. And if you have never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, if you have never come to him with your recognition of your need for forgiveness, with a recognition of how sinful you are, if you have never come to him, then you do not know his forgiveness. I pray that each and every one of you out there will recognize that we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have been able to live up to the standard of righteousness that God requires, and that we all have to be willing to turn from who we are and turn to who he is. We have to be willing to turn away from our sins and ourselves and turn to the work that Christ Jesus has done on the cross for us. So please come to him and know him and know his forgiveness. And one of the greatest expressions of your understanding that you have been forgiven is your willingness to share that forgiveness with others, to go out and to pour your life out for others, to love God and to love your neighbors. And if you are living a life where you are selfish and self-centered and self-willed and self-righteous, and you're not looking to God, you're not looking to him for everything, then I ask you to question what's going on in your heart and your life. Turn away from yourself and turn to him. Know his forgiveness and take that forgiveness and share it with others. He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I can tell you based on the authority of Scripture that if you will turn from sin and self and turn to Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross to save broken men and women like me and you, you can know that peace and forgiveness in your life. You can know the hope of eternity. You can know what it feels like to have your sins forgiven. You can know what it feels like to know the joy and the hope of eternity. So please, know him, trust him, receive him, believe him. Know his forgiveness and share that forgiveness with others. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this time that you've given us together today. My prayer is that we'll all understand what a wonderful thing your forgiveness is. And I pray that you will grant us the faith and the repentance to turn away from ourselves and turn to what your son has done on the cross to save us and to know that salvation and to share that salvation and forgiveness with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.